Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey, law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 16 of The Law Entrepreneur. My name is Neil Tyra. I'm your host as always. Today we get to speak with Tom Lambot. Tom is the CEO of Global Mac IT, the only company in the world that specializes in providing IT support to Mac-based law firms. His methods are based on close to a decade of research, testing, and real-world refinement of best practices, working directly with Mac-based law firms and firms switching from PCs to Mac across the country and around the world. Tom is an author, having written his first book, Hassle-Free Mac IT Support for Law Firms, and his newest book, Legal Boost, Big Profits Through an IT Transformation. He's a highly sought-after speaker at national events such as the ABA Tech Show and Milo Fest, a Mac 11 Lawyers event. You can learn more about Tom and Global Mac IT at www.globalmacit.com, but for now, sit back, relax, and listen to our conversation with Tom Lambot. Hey there, Tom Lambot. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey, Neil. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you taking the time to be with me today, Tom. Hey, Tom, tell us, our listeners, a little bit about what you do and how long you've been doing it.
So I'm the CEO of Global Mac IT. We support Mac-based law firms nationwide. So we've got quite a niche in that we are an IT company that only supports Macs to begin with. But then within that niche, we only work with Mac-using attorneys and law firms. So we support mainly small firms with the minimum is usually about 5 users, sometimes 4, all the way up to about 30, 40, 50 users. And we've got clients throughout the U.S., we even support the biggest law firm in American Samoa.
Oh, wow.
So we can definitely work remotely.
And you say, well, minimum like 5 years. It doesn't necessarily need to be 5 attorneys. It can be, one attorney and 5 support staff, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we've got several firms like that.
Yeah. As you know, our audience focuses in mostly on solo and small firms. So this is a perfect fit. How long have you been a Mac IT house?
I started the company in 2007. So we're going to be coming up on a decade next year, which is hard to believe. I was a solo consultant for the majority of that, I think up until 2011. And so my first employee is actually hitting 4 years tomorrow. So about 4 years ago, I decided to start branching out from being a solo, and we've got a total staff of 8 people now.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so it's been a wild ride, but it's a lot of fun, constantly evolving and improving, and we've got a lot of future growth in our future. So it's very exciting.
I guess I off the top of my head, that makes me wonder: is that largely because of the success you've had in marketing your services, or the growth of the use of Apple products in law firms, or both?
Definitely both. I'm an avid marketer. I'm a business guy first and an IT guy second. I think that's pretty rare in the IT world. Most people, are IT people first, and then before they know it, they're going to business. And I think that's a big reason why there is such a bad rap on IT guys. I believe that IT consultants are kind of used car salesmen of these. No one likes them. No one looks forward or is ever excited to work with them, right? But so to take it back, so I'm a business guy first. I've always been a student of marketing and selling. I love it. I'm passionate about it. And I'm also extremely passionate about the Apple platform. And so bridging those two is really what's enabled us to grow.
You keep causing me to go off on a tangent here. I was thinking about there's an ongoing discussion on Solo Says at the moment, which is the largest listserv for solo practitioners. It's run by the American Bar Association. And there's this discussion about one of the attorneys has raised the issue that he'd rather learn substantive law, doesn't want to learn, you know, business practices. He's a lawyer first. He's not a salesperson, was his position. And there's been a lot of back and forth. It's my view is, you know, the days of being able to market your law firm solely based on the fact that you are, you know, an expert in your field, those days are waning. That you have to, by necessity, particularly if you're a solo or small firm practitioner, you have to pay attention to business practices. And I think it's same is true for IT services firms. If you don't pay attention, as you have done, to building your business, you're not going to have a business to apply your IT skills to.
Absolutely. I mean, my reply to him would be good luck.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist until you promote it. That is one of my biggest mantras. It doesn't matter if you're the best attorney in the world. If no one knows you exist, if no one knows what you do, if you're not able to communicate and find your specific clientele, you know, the future is specialization. It's more and more rare that you have an attorney that, hey, I do everything and anything you want. No one wants to work with a generalist, right? People want specialists. To circle back to, you know, what's been the biggest help in our growth, specializing in the legal field was really big for us. So we did this about 2.5-3 years ago. So before, like most Apple consultants, you know, I'm in a niche already just by only working with Macs, right? So most Apple consultants will work with anyone that has a Mac. Photographers, construction, attorneys, you name it, right? If you've got a Mac, I'll work with you. And so for a long time, I didn't, we focused and had a heavy emphasis on the legal field, but we didn't specialize 100%. And I was scared to make that decision because I thought, man, if I specialize, if I say no to everybody and only yes to attorneys, I'm going to cut my lead flow in half. So it was scary. One day the light bulb went off in my head and I said, wait, if I specialize and I only work with attorneys, I'm going to get way more leads. We're going to grow a lot faster because I can provide a lot more value. And so to bring it back to the Solo Says discussion, A, I think specialization, that's a whole other talk, you know, is critical so you can, you know, develop, you know, a deep knowledge and insight that no one else can. But even then, if I have that insight and I don't know how to market, I don't know how to bring it to my, you know, potential prospects, right? Mac-based law firms with 5 attorneys. I mean, that's very, very, very specific, or 5 users. If I don't know how to find my market and put myself out there, I'm going to have a very hard time growing and scaling. And I'm going to be, you know, an attorney working 80 hours a week because I don't know the business side. So sorry, I've touched on a whole lot of different angles there.
No, that's perfect. Okay, Tom, while your first book is titled Hassle-Free Mac IT Support for Law Firms, is it solely for Mac users or can firms that use other platforms benefit from the principles espoused in your book?
They can definitely benefit. It's really applicable to all law firms and all IT support. The concepts in there truly are universal. And of course, they've been, you know, targeted to Mac using attorneys, but it's by, you know, in no way exclusive of PC based firms.
But it raises the question, were you a Mac guy first and an IT guy second, or the other way around?
Definitely a Mac guy first. You know, I've always been in business and sales, kind of entrepreneurial my entire life. In college, I worked for Vector Marketing, which sells Cutco cutlery. So I did that right out of high school and did it for 6 years, did extremely well with it, actually. And one summer when I was running a branch, I was working on a compact laptop was what I had at the time. I was running a training seminar with 40 people, and it died just completely. Fortunately, I had a paper copy backup of my training notes. But at that time, a lot of other managers were getting Macs, and I've always loved technology. So I got a Mac and I fell in love, you know, instantly. So I developed a deep passion for Macs, learning everything inside and out, you know, converting my friends over to Macs, helping my other friends with Macs, teach them how to use them. And so in 2007, I was kind of at a crossroads looking for something new. And I said, hey, I love Macs. I love business. Let's put them together. And so I've never had any formal education on IT. I was definitely self-taught.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here, because I was a software developer and engineer and systems engineer who then developed a love for Macs when they first came out. I bought the first, Mac 128K, and I've been running with it ever since. So we're birds of a feather in that respect. And to that end, I mean, I love the quotes from all the Apple folks in each of your, the intro to each of your chapters in your book. Do you pull that from any specific place or just general knowledge?
I don't recall. I think a few of them probably came from the Steve Jobs, the
autobiography.
Think I pulled a few from there and then just kind of Googling around. I wanted to make relevant quotes, because I'm a Mac guy.
Well, they're great. I mean, I have, my copy of the book, which I got years ago from you. I got it originally, I think, when we went to Milo Fest, Victor Medina's event down in Orlando. And I've gone through the book and pulled out stuff for various presentations that I've done. And literally every quote here is highlighted in my book, which is kind of stupid for me because they lead off every chapter. So it's not like I have to look for them, but somehow I've managed to highlight them, but that's just me. So a lot of law firms outsource their IT support, including solos, largely because in the past, I think attorneys generally haven't been very tech savvy, although that's probably changing today. Why do law firms, in your opinion now, outsource their IT support? And what's the true cost of not doing so, of having bad IT support?
So in my world, in the Mac bubble that we operate in, I find that's actually not true. I find that a lot more solo consultants and small Mac-based law firms tend not to outsource their IT. So it actually, introduces a different problem. And I think the major belief that what causes this to happen is they're sick and tired of their IT working for the previous firm they're at. They don't solve issues. They're rude. They're horrible to work with. I can't tell you how many people I've ran into that just give up and say, "Oh, our IT sucks. I'm just going to deal with it." So they sit there suffering in silence. So when they open up their firm, they go solo and they have a Mac, they say, "Hey, this is great. I never have to hire an IT guy because it's a Mac. It's easy." So that's my biggest challenge, is coming up against that with the smaller firms. Our ideal firm is really the 5 to 10. So, for example, we support Ben Stevens' law firm, who runs the Mac Lawyer blog and also started the Milo Google group 9 years ago. Victor Medina is actually going to be coming on as a client here within a matter of just a few weeks. And so they're definitely in that 5 to 10 user sweet spot. And the problem with taking care of your own IT internally is that most people see that they're not writing a check. So they look at their P&L and they go, "Wow, this is great. I've got zero expense on IT. Macs are great." But what they never actually quantify is the amount of time that they spend dealing with it, right? Running updates, fixing a printer for Susie. Usually in a small law firm, the person who set it all up is the owner, right? Is the owning partner of the firm. So he knows how everything was configured. So anytime something happens to it, he has to get involved, stop what he's doing, and go fix an email issue or a printer, or he'll spend 2 hours Googling trying to fix an issue, then finally give up. Or very common is they'll spend their evening time and weekend hours trying to deal and fix issues because they can't justify using their daily, their kind of billable hours doing so. So it's sacrificing their personal and family time. So my biggest challenge is really educating, Mac-based law firms and saying, "Hey, there's actually a lot of stuff you're missing, right? There's a lot of stuff under the surface." My analogy I like to use is the iceberg. Think 88% of the iceberg is below water. And so what they know and work with is the Apple operating system, which is very easy, right? And true solos with 1, 2, 3 people are not really good prospects for what we do because there isn't the added level of complexity at that point. Once you grow to 4, 5, 6, 10, 15 people, the complexity of password management and system setup and email and archiving and security, and good workflows and all these different things, it just make a bigger and bigger impact. And so I think that's why, that 5 number comes from. We find the firms with 5 and more on staff, in total can really value, really have a lot of added value by the services that we do.
Well, I can speak to that, you know, just personally. I'm in that boat because when I started my practice, you know, I said right from the get-go, being a Mac guy, I'm going to do it on the Mac. And I'm pretty tech savvy in terms of the Mac itself. And so as long as I have what I like to refer to as a three-man firm, me, myself, and I, mm-hmm. as long as it's just me, it wasn't an issue. And I made choices, software platforms and applications and, you know, printers and what have you, solely based on the fact that it was just me. As I contemplate adding staff, now I realize, oh, geez, my database isn't really set up for multi-user. My network isn't set up for multi-user. How can I have a virtual assistant dial in, so to speak, connect with my practice management software? So now I've got to do all of that IT work. And with each and every employee, staff member, whether they be virtual or on site, those issues multiply, you know, by a factor of 10. So it's easy to see how the sweet spot for your services starts to emerge once you get around 3, 4, 5 users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many things that aren't considered. Just bring on a new employee, for example, something as simple as that. How are most employees' first day experience, especially for a small firm, right, which usually doesn't have very developed HR processes and all that, right? Most people, they show up their first day and it's like, yeah, you can work on this computer and we'll have your email account, you know, set up by the end of the day. And it's kind of hobbled together, right? So we have a very well-defined process. So we have a new employee form that our clients fill out. You know, as soon as they know they're hiring someone, we get all the information. We order a computer if we need to. We set up their email accounts, their passwords, additional licenses, set everything up. And then their first day, and 24 hours before they start their first day, we do a run, we run over the system with our client to make sure everything's ready to go. And then once they start, we do a hands-on training with them on how to use the Mac, because most people don't have experience working on a Mac. But also on their first day, they're not going to go, oh, hey, boss, I've never worked on a Mac. Can you tell me how this thing works? Right. So they just sit there and they suffer in silence and figure it out, right? Well, figuring it out is very expensive. You know, your biggest expense is labor, you know? And so if you have people working inefficiently, or doing things in a slow way. Every Mac person or every techish attorney has had a moment where they see someone, you know, doing something on their computer the slow way, right? And then right. they go, wow, did you know you could do this? And, you know, they have that aha moment. You're like, wow, you've just saved me, you know, 20 minutes a day. So how many of those little improvements can be reduced if they're properly trained? And so after the first hands-on training, we also have a 6-week course where they receive a 30-minute video every single week on how to get comfortable and confident using the Mac. So that helps ramp them up and become more productive right from the get-go, right?
And that amounts to dollars in the law firm's pockets because, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've got sucked down that rabbit hole when somebody says, you know, this is normally within my family. Oh, this isn't working right. Can you take a look at it? And the next thing I know, it's the middle of the night and I've not done any work. I've been busy. Oh, well, you're running 3 operating systems ago and you're doing this the wrong way. And how do we get rid of these 16,000 email messages that you have in your inbox?
Yeah. What you run into is the classic Rube Goldberg device. Are you familiar with that?
Yep.
And so, you know, first we used to say this internally only, but now I've gotten confidence in the process. But we have a saying about all new clients. They're all cleanup jobs. Doesn't matter who was taking care of IT, whether it was themselves or if they did have an IT company. We have never had a client who has not been a cleanup job. Some are far worse and far more complex. The more complex ones are the ones that are, you know, self-started. Because you've got an attorney who's gone to law school for, you know, years and years and years, who all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm going to be an IT guy. So yeah. No matter what you do, if it's not the thing that you do best, you're a hobbyist. And this is something I believe very strongly about. And if you want to be an expert and grow a business, you can't spend your time being a hobbyist. You're wasting your time. You have to focus and invest your time on your highest ROI activities. And so this is critical for solo attorneys and for everybody, right? So what are the things that you spend your time on during your day that are not, you know, in your unique ability area, the things that you do best, right? So technology setup and IT management and security and backups and all these things are not what they do best. Therefore, they're hobbyists. So they're investing all that time in something that has no ROI for the false belief that they're saving money by not, you know, paying IT.
Yeah. And we've said this before in past episodes here of The Law Entrepreneur, that you have to ask yourself the question, would you pay your IT consultant, would you pay them $250 an hour to do what they need to do? And most people say, well, not that much, not $250 an hour. Well, if you're doing it and your billing rate is $250 an hour, that's what you're paying.
I'm going to steal that. I love it.
Yeah, because I have to look at how am I spending my time? Is the time that I'm spending during the day, is it returning, as you said, a value to my law firm? And if so, is it returning value commensurate with the amount of time that I'm spending? So if I spend an hour helping somebody upgrade their operating system, that's at $250 an hour, which is my billing rate, I'm much better off using an expert like you to take care of that for me so that I can return to the business of law or the business of building my business.
Mm-hmm.
So let me understand a little bit more about the services that you offer. You spoke about helping the client bring on new employees, indoctrinating them, and then following up on a recurring basis to make sure they're getting the most out of the hardware and software tools that they have at their disposal. What are some of the other things that your company provides to a law firm?
So we have positioned ourselves to be the ultimate white glove experience, of IT support. So everything IT related, we take care of. Most people, if you're working just with an hourly guy, you tend to call the person only when you need to, worst case scenarios kind of thing. We used to do that. We do zero hourly support anymore. We don't do one-off jobs. So all of our clients are on a residual, kind of ongoing, it's called managed services. And we differ from most managed service offerings as well. Most of them just include, kind of support, right? So if something goes wrong, we'll help you out and we'll fix it. And then they end up billing for project work. The problem with billing for project work is that if it's not budgeted, it gets delayed. But what I mean by that, let's say we find, a new solution that would benefit your firm tremendously. And, the project of implementing it, setting it up, training, et cetera, is going to be, we'll say, $4,500. Usually the response is, ooh, wow, that's a lot. Yeah, well, we'll budget it and we'll do it, next year, or we'll do it in 6 months. Where if it had been acted upon and implemented at that time, the revenue generated for those 6 months would eclipse the $4,500, right? So I figured that out. And so we realized after doing a lot of research that in all managed service providers, whether you're working with small firms or large firms, across different companies, across industries, project work is 25% of their revenue. So I said, hey, we're going to take our service and increase the price 25%. And so what we do is we include unlimited support, unlimited project work, and unlimited labor. So we don't bill for labor, period. What this does is huge psychologically. An easy analogy is our web company that we now use. We pay them $250 a month, flat fee, for everything we want. So if I want them to superimpose my head on a pink elephant flying around on my homepage, they'll do that and they won't bill me for it. The big difference, though, in the previous model, okay, most people, when they think of web guys, they think of, oh, they're going to bill me, if there's a typo, it's going to be $40 to fix it. Right. The problem when you have that mentality is you put it off. you delay. You're like, oh, I'm going to make a big list and have them handle everything at once. And then when you do that, you forget things anyways. So having that true unlimited model really opens, you know, it cuts down the breaking and the stops and the gaps to progress. So in our first month, we do a complete diagnostic of our client. We're looking at everything top to bottom. We're looking for where are the bottlenecks, where are the problems. We're also looking for where are the biggest opportunities, where are the security risks, right? All these different things that small firms should be doing but don't, because they simply don't have the time, because they're trying to grow business. So once we've done that, we start implementing, you know, solutions and project one after another. Okay. But it also saves me a tremendous amount of time from putting all these quotes together and making sure there's not too many hours and not too few. And it was a nightmare. So I get to focus my time and energy on solutions.
Yeah. That's a much, much more convenient, a much more understandable business model for both you and for your clients.
Yeah, there's a flat fee. They know, I mean, for me, I'm a budget guy. I want everything on the budget and I hate blips in the radar. You know, oh, hey, you got to spend $2,000 now. I can't stand that, right? So I put myself in my client's shoes and that's the same thing. Like once you put on the budget, you know, it's planned for and there's no surprises,
right?
You know, so in addition to that, we help them, you know, we manage all their hardware and their network. So if they have to replace some computers, we tell them way ahead of time so they can plan and budget for it, you know. You know, in addition to all the labor stuff, so we also do training. So we do a monthly training seminar for our clients. It's targeted for Mac-based law firms. We also have a university portal where we have all these resources that we've developed that they can have access to and provide for everyone on their staff to help ramp them up and become more confident and comfortable on the computer, right? And then on the technical side, we're doing all the maintenance, support, updates. We do vendor management, make sure you're not overpaying for your internet service. You know, we do VoIP phone systems. We provide Office 365 Business Premium to our clients, actually, that's built into our service. You know, email migrations, backups, mobile device management. That's just a few things on a long list. I mean, again, I'm fanatical with looking for ways to add value. And so we're always building new processes, adding new solutions. We even give our clients a Cisco Meraki cloud managed appliance for their network, which provides firewall, VPN, all kinds of other fun stuff.
Right. Well, for some people, I'm beginning to think you're probably kind of stepping into the foreign language department for them. But listen, we're up against our time limit here, Tom. I got a whole bunch of other questions I want to ask you, some specific technical questions, things about backup strategy and email domain hosting and issues with the cloud. Will you come back and talk about those kinds of things for us?
I'd love to. Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be great because I think there's some technical issues here aside from the business of IT support that our listeners would get some value from. Tom, I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit. We mentioned your first book, Hassle-Free Mac IT Support for Law Firms. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your most recent book.
Yes. This was finished in fall of last year. I really haven't promoted it at all. Again, going back to what I had preached about, you know, it doesn't exist until you promote it. So this book is kind of a secret right now. But it's called Legal Boost, Big Profits Through an IT Transformation. And the idea behind it is really how to use technology as a lever to boost profitability within your firm. So there's two different mindsets towards technology. I think the limited mindset is that I want to spend as little as I have to on technology.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in the legal field, that's rampant.
Yeah, that's a predominant model, yeah.
And so technology is seen as an expense. Like, oh, I don't want to spend my money on this, but I have to. So I guess we'll buy new computers now, right? They're starting to die, right? So they wait until their XP machines are 6 years old, and then they buy new ones, right? The challenge is going into the opposite mindset, which is, wow, when they realize that technology is a massive lever to boosting profits, there's a lot of things they can do within the firm. You know, the simple example of an old computer is one that I've done the math on many times and go, wow, if your slow 5-year-old computer, 4-year-old computer is wasting 10, 15 minutes of time per employee, that works out to tens of thousands of dollars in lost productivity per year. Right. And so that's kind of the main premise of the book. It looks at different things that you can do within your firm. And it's definitely not Mac specific. different things you can do within your firm that can act as levers to boost your profitability, kind of, you know, plug holes and implement different systems and ideas to do so.
And stop those slow leaks that most people don't even realize are happening.
Definitely. Again, you know, looking at my mindset, I'm always looking at two sides of the coin. So I've got one, where are the bottlenecks within the firm, right? So if someone, we had one firm, they told us that someone didn't know how to edit PDFs. So anytime she needed something done, she would copy it onto a flash drive, go across the office, interrupt the office manager from what she was doing, plug in the flash drive in her computer, and the office manager would make a couple changes, copy it back to the flash drive, and walk back to her office. So we did a training session for the team on how to use Preview, which is the Apple built-in, you know, PDF editor on the Mac. You know, Preview can easily, you know, delete pages, merge PDFs. It's definitely not as full features as Adobe Acrobat, but it can do a lot for most people's simple needs. And that saved 10, 15 minutes a day, you know, just with that one little thing. So what are the bottlenecks we can reduce from things not being properly set up, from your staff not having the right tools to get what they need done in the most efficient manner? And then on the flip side, how can we boost productivity? What are the solutions we can implement that can help, you know, boost productivity and reduce manual entry, you know, and so on?
And both of those issues speak to the profitability of the law firm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Tom, let our listeners know how they can reach you and how they may be able to take advantage of your services.
So they can reach me directly by sending an email to tom@globalmacit.com. If they're interested in the book, they can go to globalmacit.com/book. And they can sign up there, and we'll be happy to send them a complimentary copy, you know, of the book. We do offer PDF. I prefer the good old real physical hard copy books. I find PDFs get left in downloads too quickly.
Yeah, I have my copy of your books sitting around on my desk here. I've, as I said, your first one, I'm probably worn out by now going through it. So I highly recommend both for our listeners. And Tom, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with me today. This is Tom Lambot of Global Mac IT, and we'll have you back again to talk about some specific technical issues, and we'll check in on how your book's doing.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much for having me, Neil.
Thank you, Tom. Well, there you have it, fellow law entrepreneurs. Thank you for listening and being a part of today's program. The utmost compliment you could pay me is to go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a strong 5-star review if you think the podcast and what we're trying to do here is worthwhile. Feel free to share the link to the podcast with your friends, family, and coworkers. I would be very appreciative if you did. So until next time, thanks again for listening to The Law Entrepreneur.